want to remember Trevor in prayer, of course, but we remember the cynics in prayer. Sister Cynic was up all night with breathing problems from asthma, so just remember her in prayer at this time. And been looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, where we read about overcoming the wicked one, which of course is Satan. And then in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, we read about overcoming the world, which is another one of our enemies. And we see that the life of a child of God is a life of victory. The victory has already been won. It's just for you and I to live in that victory, live in the realization of that victory. And we've seen that we have several enemies. We've been looking at our enemy Satan, and we have to overcome. He's already an overcome foe. He's been defeated by Christ, and we can continue to have victory over him. We've seen so far that he, of course, opposes, seeks to oppose and stop the work of God. He can't, of course. He can oppose the work of God. He certainly cannot stop the work of God. It is his desire to have each one of us, as he said to Peter, to sift him as wheat, to toss him to and fro. It's his desire to draw us into sin. He'll do everything he can to do that. It's his desire to get an advantage over us, and he gets an advantage over us in one area so he can draw us into sin in that area. We need to always be on guard against Satan getting an advantage in any area of our life. He seeks to turn aside God's people from that which is right, seeks to imprison God's people. And again, we can be imprisoned with just about anything, and the devil's very good at imprisoning us. He desires to steal the seed of God's word wherever it is planted. He seeks to destroy and devour not only the seed of God's word, but he seeks to destroy and devour the people of God and all that is good and all the leadings and directings of the Holy Spirit. Now, in order to accomplish these things, he has means, he has procedures that he uses to attain his goals. His goal is always the same. His goal has not changed since heaven, since he fell from heaven, drew a third of the angels with him. His goal has not changed, and his goal still has not changed. He desires to do all these things that we've just mentioned, but he has devices. If we turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So it is implied here that one of the ways to keep Satan from getting an advantage of us is not to be ignorant of his devices. Paul said we are not ignorant of his devices. The word devices simply means his plans. We're not ignorant of his plans. Again, his plans are revealed in the Word of God. His plans are just what we've mentioned. The word devices has reference to his procedures, his techniques, his strategies in accomplishing his goals. We should always be looking for the devices of Satan. We need to study the Word of God. We need to see how the devil works. And the Word of God makes it pretty plain how he works. And again, he hasn't changed. He may use some different things nowadays, but his plans, his procedures, his techniques, his strategies are basically the same. And we have to always be aware of the devil's procedures. You know, as many times people are ignorant of the devil's devices, and they walk right into his procedures and his plans. They open themselves up to his plans and his techniques. So we must realize that he has devices. He has ways of operating, and we need to be aware of what those are. In Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 11, we see that he has wiles. We're to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles, plural, of the devil. That simply means the tricks of the devil, the cunningness of the devil, the deceit of the devil. The devil does not come and tell you the truth. He comes to deceive. He has wiles. He has tricks. He has ways of tricking us. He has ways of getting us to believe that somehow with us it will be different. You look at people that are going headlong into sin, and they've been convinced of that. That somehow, though others have been destroyed by whatever vice it is, somehow for them, that's not going to happen. They've been deceived by Satan. But again, we have victory over Satan. We can continue to have victory over Satan. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. All who are unbelievers are blinded by Satan, with no exceptions. They're all blinded by the devil. And sad to say, many of God's people have been blinded as well. This is part of his techniques. This is part of his procedure to blind individuals. We see also that he has snares. Notice in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, we read concerning the bishop or the pastor, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare or the trap of the devil. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So he has snares. He has traps. He has things that entangles us and snarls us. And the devil very carefully lays his traps. And he does so strategically. He sets his traps. He has traps for every one of us. The traps that he sets for one person may not be the same traps he sets for another. The places where he sets those traps may not be the same place for every single individual. But you can be sure of this, the devil has traps for each one of us, and he has set them in specific places. And of course, the devil is going to do everything he can to lead us or to get us to go where the traps are. So we have to always study the devil. That is, study how he works, study his traps, study how he places his traps, study where he places his traps. And the Word of God is very revealing concerning these things. And it does us well to be aware of how the devil works. So we can have victory. We do have victory over the devil, and we can live our lives in that victory. But we have a second enemy, and that is the world. The world is aligned with the devil. The devil and the world are allies. And the world, just like the devil, is a very powerful fault. In fact, the world, of course, is one of the devil's tools. It's one of the techniques that he uses, and certainly it's one of the traps that he sets. But the world is condemned all through the Word of God. Now, when we speak of the world, we're not talking about creation in general. We're not talking about the trees and things like that. We're talking about a system. We're talking about a system. And the world as a system is under the dominion of Satan. That we must always realize. The world as a system is under the dominion of Satan. He's its prince. He's its ruler. He regulates the policies of the world. It should not surprise us when the world's policies run contrary to God's policies. The prince of the world sets the policies of the world. And I believe the world is the very embodiment of the devil's spirit. It's the very embodiment of the personality of the devil. It bears the image of the devil. Again, we're talking about the world as a system. Notice in Ephesians 2, very familiar verse of Scripture, but in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, we read, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world." So this world has a course. And it is this course of the world is according or in accord with, in agreement with, the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. But that's not just Satan. He is the prince of the power of the air. That is Satan and demonic forces. So it is, the course of the world is in accord with Satan and demonic forces. And as we've said many times, we in the so-called enlightened society that we live in, we people tend to believe that demons are fairy tales. I believe demonic possession is more common today than it was even in the day of Christ. I believe that. I believe you can see it everywhere. We've taught on this before, or we've mentioned it before. We attribute demonic possession to a lot of things. But the truth is that a lot of it is just plain demon possession. But the Bible's very clear. The course of this world is in accord, it lines up with the devil and demonic forces. So we need to be aware of that. This is the course of the world. And notice what it says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, the devil's spirit, that now worketh. He is working. The devil's spirit works in the children of disobedience. Doesn't make any exceptions there. All children of disobedience, and this offends some, but it's the truth. All children of disobedience, I'm not saying they're demon possessed, but all children of disobedience have the devil's spirit working in them. We have to remember that when you start making friends with people of the world. You'd better beware of that. When you begin to associate with people of the world, you need to beware of that fact, that the spirit of disobedience, or the devil's spirit, does work in them. Some, of course, much more than others. There's no doubt about that. But we need to beware. So the world, the course of the world, is in line with the devil and demonic forces. So it is a world that is patterned after the image of Satan. It is no surprise today that Hollywood has gone the direction it has. It's no surprise today that the smut that is on television and radio and all media outlets, none of that is a surprise, because, again, it just reminds us of the character of this world that we live in. And I believe sometimes we need to be reminded, because sometimes we forget. We forget the world we're living in. And I believe God is, at this time in our history, God is giving us a reminder of the world that we live in. So considered morally, the world is synonymous with the kingdom of Satan. In other words, the world is the sphere of rebellion against God. The world is in rebellion against God. 1 John 5 tells us the whole world lieth in wickedness, or lieth in the lap of the wicked one. But we read in 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, we have overcome the world. You and I are not to live defeated by the world. We're not to live on the world's level. We're to live above the world. We're to live above the world's policies. We don't agree with the world's policies, but we should never be sucked in by the world's policies. And no doubt many of God's people have been sucked in by the world's policies. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16, verse 33. So the philosophies of the world, just like the course of the world, are in line with the devil and demonic forces. What is being taught today are the philosophies of the world. So you had those who have young children, or those who have children that are at home, you need to be on guard, because their minds are going to be filled with the philosophies of this world. You cannot prevent a lot of it from happening. Some you can, but much of it you cannot prevent from happening. They're going to hear it. They're going to see it. If they live outside of the four walls of your house, they're going to see it. They're going to come in contact with it. But you have to correct it. You have to always be correcting it. And it's amazing today, because the philosophies of the world nowadays is the only philosophies people are hearing. They don't hear the teaching of God's word. The kids grow up and the only thing they've been told their whole life is the philosophies of the world, however ridiculous those philosophies might be. And they believe them, and they're part of their lives. The desires of the world run in line with the devil and his forces. The pursuits of the world. And all of these things are obstacles that God's people need to overcome. We need to overcome the philosophies of the world. We need to overcome the course of this world. We need to overcome the desires of this world. We need to overcome the pursuits of this world. In other words, we are, as God's people, are to live above the philosophies of the world. And don't try, as many of God's people do, they try to have a mix of the world's philosophies and what God's word says. Those two things are contrary. You can't, you mix them, you've got a mess. So you cannot try to mix them. You adopt the truths of God's word, or you adopt the philosophies of the world. But you and I, as God's people, are to live above the philosophies of the world. We're to live above the course of the world. We live above the desires of the world. And it's very easy living in this world to begin to have the same desires. If we're not careful, we'll have the same desires that the world has. If we're not careful, we'll have the same pursuits that the world has. So again, we are to live as overcomers. And notice in Romans 12, again, familiar verse of scripture, Romans 12, verse 2, it tells us, be not conformed to this world, We're not to be fashioned to this world. But that is, instead of being conformed, we're to be transformed. And how is it that we are transformed? Is it that we just do things differently? We go through certain acts? No, that's hypocrisy. That's what the Pharisees do. But notice transforming, that ye be transformed by, this tells us how we're transformed, by the renewing of your mind. You have to think right. In order to live above the world's ways, you have to have your mind saturated with God's ways. And notice what this will do. That you may so transform by the renewing of your mind. And then notice that next word, that. In other words, in order. You renew your mind in order that ye may prove or distinguish what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You get your mind right, and you will be able to know what is good and acceptable. You'll know what is good and acceptable and pleasing to God, but you got to get your mind right. And as long as the mind is in line with the world, God's people are very confused as far as what's good, what's right. They never seem to know what's the right thing to do. And you can tell them, well, you've been in church all your life, and you mean you still don't know? Well, it's because their mind has not been transformed. Their mind has not been transformed. So the way to overcome the world, the way to live above the world, is to have our mind transformed. Then notice in Galatians 6, verse 14, Paul again speaking, he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now notice, we have three crucifixions in this verse. You have the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that's the crucifixion of Christ, by whom the world is crucified, Paul says, unto me. But what Paul is saying is, he's saying, I look at the world as one who has been crucified upon a cross. In other words, it's nothing to me. It's nothing to me. And that's how we need to view the world. And then notice what it says, and I unto the world. That is, I account the world to be nothing. And when the world looks at me, they count me to be nothing. We better be careful. When the world begins to think that you and I are something, we're probably doing something wrong. When the world begins to think real highly of us, then we're probably doing something wrong. So we have Satan. We have the world. These are two things that we must overcome. They are two things that work together. Then we have sinful flesh, which works together with Satan and the world. Satan, if it were not for our sinful flesh, would not have anything to tempt. The new nature which is in me is Jesus Christ. That new nature is not tempted to sin. That new nature cannot sin. But I am tempted. And I do sin. But that is sinful flesh. And that's what Satan uses. And that's what Satan appeals to. Satan really cannot appeal to the new nature. But he does appeal to the sinful nature. So when one savingly believes upon Jesus Christ, they are delivered from sin. That is, they are delivered from sin as a master And as sin is no longer control their lives, sin does no longer controls their life. Before you and I were saved, again, Ephesians 2, verse 2, we walked according to the prince, the power of the air. We walked according to the course of this world. We are under the dominion. We are under the control of Satan. We are under the control of our flesh. But sin no longer has dominance in a saved person's life. It no longer is the controlling influence of a saved person's life. And we'll pick up next week and look at this, but one of the enemies we have to overcome, of course, is sinful flesh. And really, that is the first enemy that we must deal with. You get your flesh under control, and the devil has much less power in your life. You let your flesh run rampant. The devil has all kinds of advantages. He has all kinds of highways into your life. So the key to living a victorious life is, of course, to get the flesh under the control of the new nature, under the control of the Spirit of God. Let's look to the Lord.